hear the word bloodhound and you probably picture a dog with pendulous ears, the poetic description from a court long ago. Unless you're in law enforcement, then you picture a big dog nose to the ground on the trail of some criminal. First, a powerful nose. Second, those pendulous ears. And so it's been in law enforcement for a very long time. Since 1805, in fact, when, according to the American Kennel Club, a group of positive thinkers called the Thrapthan Association for the Prevention of Felons first used the bloodhound to search for poachers and thieves. Apparently, the first step in felon prevention was felon apprehension. And how we get from Thrapthan to anthrax is a long story. One involving the burning of a stock barn, the crime at issue in a case from Kentucky more than 100 years ago. Someone called out the dogs to investigate that crime, specifically a bloodhound. And just like in the movies, the bloodhound sniffed his way to a local tenement filled with people, in the court's words, of bad repute. Authorities then narrowed the list of suspects to one, and he, the one arrested, argued that the bloodhound evidence was inadmissible. Eventually, a court said no to the nose and agreed that this testimony about this dog's proboscis prowess was inadmissible. No one had testified that this particular dog was a bloodhound, a breed known for scent skills, and no one had testified that this particular dog had been trained to track. Reading between the lines, given the right dog and the right circumstances, evidence of a trail was appropriate at trial. A strong dissent argued that no dog should ever be allowed in spirit to testify against a human being, that bloodhounds had been used to capture slaves, jeopardize the liberty of people in years past. The danger of a mistake was too great, the dog following the wrong scent, that of an innocent, for example. But that voice did little to stop the will of that Kentucky majority, and soon a majority of states began to accept such evidence, but not Illinois. In 1914, the Illinois Supreme Court wrote that the fruit of a bloodhound's abilities should never be allowed in Illinois courtrooms. And so it stands today. As recently as 2001, a court reiterated that in Illinois, bloodhound evidence should not be admitted as proof of any fact at trial. But there's now, to quote one author, an overwhelming number of jurisdictions that disagree, jurisdictions that allow bloodhound evidence. States like California, where just this spring, a court upheld a man's conviction for attempted murder. The evidence against him included testimony that a dog alerted on his fear scent as he escaped from police. Apparently, the opinion notes, some dogs can be trained to smell fear. This one did, and followed it to the defendant's apartment. No surprise, then, that the Newsweek story about the anthrax investigation and the dog's reactions allegedly to Stephen Hatfield quoted a boastful investigator. When you see how the dogs go to everything that connected him, you say, expletive. Meantime, a biologist told NPR it's unlikely any human scent would linger on letters 10 months old. So we'll see what happens in that particular case, should Stephen Hatfield ever be charged with anything. It'll all depend on which way, in that particular jurisdiction, the pendulum regarding those pendulous ears swings. I'm Amy Guida.